Well, hello again. This is Ed Said, the podcast that accompanies Ed Says every day from 10 to noon here on the Talk of Connecticut. It is where I put in podcast form a couple bits for you to enjoy. You missed the show, plus I open every podcast with a little segment here where I ramble incoherently for probably 5 to 8 minutes, depending on what it is. And I was talking today about the industry and the giants in it and what they're capable of and what they do and how they get where they are and how I differ. And I think one of the ways I also differ is that as much as I talk and as much as I like to talk, I also like to converse. I enjoy learning about other people, where they're from, their experiences. I think that makes me a more well-rounded person, and it makes me sometimes question things that I thought were real and true, and I think that's healthy. And I've always gravitated towards jobs where you interact with people. My first career was in restaurants. I spent a decade doing that before I got burnt out on serving people because, well, people are terrible. But for the most part, I would say bartending was the best experience I had in restaurants because I did get to talk to people daily. And it's kind of what I model this show after. I want to have conversations with people. Now, this podcast portion, clearly not meant for that. It's just meant for me to talk directly to you. But it was the stereotype of a bartender is always, an ear for you to chew on while you're having your beverage. But I was always interested in sharing myself as well. I really let a lot of my regulars in on the inner workings behind the scenes at a restaurant, which if you've worked in one, you know, is incestuous. And there's always somebody hooking up with someone doing something. And mine were privy to all of that. And I was privy to their lives as well. I actually met with some regulars out in the real world. One in particular I remember is the one who took me to fire a gun the first time. Took me to the range. He was a machinist. Worked on customizing AR-15s and all sorts of cool stuff. And got me through the NRA training. And it was an awesome experience. And he's the one that sticks out while I'm thinking about it. But there were plenty that I'd hang out with outside of being their bartender. And I feel the same way about being on the radio. I actually met my wife through a listener, a guy who's a big fan of the show and that I was on prior to this. And he was a regular caller, and he invited me and my co-host to watch a WrestleMania pay-per-view once, because, yeah, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I like wrestling. It's awesome. It's entertaining. And we said, what the hell? What's the worst that could happen? He stabs us. He can only stab one of us at a time. So just be on edge. You know, because that's your fear. You meet somebody through being on the air, and they seem nice enough, but you never know. Turned out, super nice guy. So we ended up at his place again for another pay-per-view event, a UFC, UFC 100. And prior to that, he just happened to have a gathering of former classmates, and my wife is one of them. And so she stuck around for the pay-per-view with no interest in the UFC, aside from seeing GSP in his tight little fight shorts. Mind you, I was wearing what I call long board shorts, and she called essentially clam diggers or capris, and a mohawk, and just totally not what she was probably looking for, but I would not have met her had it not been for hanging out with someone who enjoyed my show, enjoyed being a part of it. And that's what I strive for in this. I don't think of myself as a celebrity. I'm certainly not. I'm sure you don't think of me as one, but somebody might hear that I'm in radio and have that thinking. It's not the case. I don't think of myself as influential in local politics. And maybe I'm selling myself short. I don't care. That's how I'm just a guy who has opinions and gets paid to spout them out on the airwaves. And hopefully you enjoy it and you take part in it and take part in the conversation. And that comes around because I got an email from a guy who listened. And one of the points he made was, you say the phone number a lot. And I say that because I'm trying to encourage people to get involved. Radio is such a passive form of entertainment, and it doesn't have to be. You can get involved, and you should, especially, it's like the original social media. With the newspaper, you had to go out of your way to write, and letters to the editor and hope to get published. With radio, all you have to do is call. And I'm pretty loosey-goosey about who gets on the air and about how much time they have. So if you've ever listened and you've heard me say that number and you're like, man, he says it a lot, it's because I want you to use it. It is, it's there. I can talk a lot, but I would rather talk with someone. I'd rather converse because I think the exchange of ideas is what's important. I think that is what's going to elicit real change. Listening to someone rant for 10 minutes at a time and nodding in agreement or shaking your fist in anger, not really going to accomplish anything, not going to change any minds, that's for sure. So if you're wondering why I'm always hitting on ways to contact the show, because it is a cornerstone of what I believe is important in my show. So I think of this show as my bar, and I'm just the bartender. And unfortunately, there aren't real drinks. They're proverbial drinks, but we're having a chat over them. So next time you hear me say the phone number and you wonder why I hit it that often, there is your answer, because it's an invitation to you to be a part of it. With that said, let's get on with the show. And actually, here's a segment where people were taking part and some thoughts were exchanged.
Welcome back to Ed Says. During the break, I was, again, speaking with my producer, Christian, because I gave him that follow on Twitter. And now he's sad for whatever reason, mostly because I'm going to admonish him for not using punctuation. Twitter, it's okay to not use punctuation. I gave him the pass on that. He goes, what about Facebook? I go, there's no character limit. And you're in the communications business. You should represent us properly. 888-574-2723. We'll see. I might have to defriend him and unfollow him. Let's go to Josh in Hartford. Good morning, Josh.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going good.
What do you got?
How you doing? I like you a lot because you don't support both sides. I wanted to know it because to me it seems like there's been a connection between the far right and supporting Donald Trump. And now, like, people like Alex Jones, they're telling all the people to support this guy. And I heard this morning Rush Limbaugh himself got stuck into a lie about him never believing Trump about his walls and his deportation. So it's kind of like everybody is flip-flopping right now. So, like, and covering for themselves so they don't get in trouble. And it's, I hope that our government is helping us, but I don't really think that they have our best foot in motion. It's kind of like, I see it as like poetry. Donald Trump himself, he's saying the parable of the snake. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that kind of scares me because as a businessman, he's saying, you knew I was a snake and you let me in. You know, and I feel that, like, that's the same way with him. Like, I know he's a snake at some points, but we're still letting him in. And Hillary Clinton herself, she's kind of saying a poem, too. But she's saying, as they say in Arkansas, you could dress a pig up and put lipstick on it, but it's still a pig, you know. And it's the same thing for her.
Yeah, I've said it before that the fact that we have zero confidence in either of these candidates should disturb all of us, and we have only ourselves to blame. I think on the right, when it comes to characters like Alex Jones and Limbaugh or whoever else, they will say whatever they need to say to maintain and build their audience, keep advertisers, and they will flip-flop. And not because they learned something new or their perspective changed, but because it benefits them. And we have far too long put too much. I watch these news programs and I go, what is this person doing on there? Like, what are Meghan McCain's qualifications to have a TV show other than being the daughter of John McCain? Now, I could look it up, and if she went to school for it, that's great. It's the same thing as like when you're watching sports. And you have former athletes with no training in communications doing broadcasting. Yeah. There is a certain skill involved in broadcasting. One of them is control of the English language. And we work at it. Like, we work at speaking. This isn't easy. Everybody can speak, but not everybody can speak well. And we need to recognize that most of these people are put in positions for entertainment purposes. And we need to digest it as such. And I encourage everyone always to, again, I was talking about it off air with Christian, get your news from multiple sources, and the decision lies within you, and we need to be big enough to admit when we're wrong, and that goes for both sides. I think the Democrats should have admitted that Hillary is wrong on multiple things, and Republicans are actually admitting that Donald Trump is wrong, and it's going to hurt him in the election. I just hope we can stop fighting each other and focus on what you said, those people that are supposed to be helping us, and that's our elected officials.
Hey, Ed, I have one quick thing to put. I want to put a stick into the tire of this moving bicycle that the government has. I want you to, I want to know if you could start talking about Jesuits, talk about Freemasonry, 33rd degree Freemasonry, what it has to deal with all of these politicians and people who have these undercover lives that we don't know who actually are the controllers. We should start talking about them and attack them straight up.
Well, Josh, I appreciate the call and the suggestion. I know very little about the two. I know the belief that people have about them, whether those are organizations that do consolidate power or not. I think we give them that power, though. So no, there's not enough of them to control things absolutely. We continue to elect them. That's what I was talking about with, like, putting McCain and Rubio and Wasserman Schultz back in control. McCain is 80 years old and has been at it since 1987. At some point, call it a day. Whether or not you think, like I do, his best days are behind him as an effective official, you can respect him for his service, or you can take Donald Trump's belief on it. But at some point, there is a bell curve. There is diminishing returns on someone's abilities. And I think at 80, John McCain has reached that point. But the voters keep going for the same old, because they want the familiar. So if the voters are going to continue to hurt themselves like this, and make no mistake, keeping the same person in power in that position for 30 years is a mistake. It is stagnation, it is possible corruption, and you need to make change. And if the people can't be trusted to do it, because it is human nature, especially as you get older, that you don't like change. We are creatures of habit, and keeping everything the same is good. It makes us comfortable. But guess what? 30 years of the same leadership isn't good anywhere. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Paul in Plymouth. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Doing all right. Not too bad. It's been a good week. I've enjoyed this week of shows.
You know, the interview with the guy from, was it one of the news network, sports news networks, about the Kaepernick issue and how far he knows he can't say things, he can't go over the line. But, you know, callers can get away with a lot more than the host can.
Absolutely. You don't have to worry about ratings and this being your paycheck. And that was Keith Reed. He's a regular on the show, a good friend, and a good guy.
Yeah, that was great. But how do you miscalculate, you know, you talk about there has to be some corporate ethics. And when you put those two words together, I was corrected on this station this morning. It wasn't $2,000 million. It was $14,000 million that, or close to euros. I think it's about the same exchange rate right now. The euro has lost against the dollar, from what I understand. I mean, but, you know, I understand politics a little bit more. And what's happening now is this Sanders mentality. So, you know, you're going to see Clinton go way over to the left in practice, but or she can go the other way. We don't know yet. She can't be trusted. So that's the problem. Where are the progressives on this one? You know, they've Sanders and Warren up there have fallen right in behind Hillary, and I can't see it personally. I just can't. And guess where I saw at least a short question? It was a single question. It wasn't an interview. It was on Deutsche Welle, DW News, The Day, and it's a free video streaming. And, you know, that site should be the model for a lot of sites because it's so user-friendly. I've been using it for 15 years.
One of the things that it's funny, we were talking about media outlets and how we get our news, is that we are looking for it to entertain us. And news shouldn't be sexy. News shouldn't be pretty. News should be boring. It's information, and you need it. It doesn't necessarily have to entertain. But if you look at the presentation of all of these news programs, Most of it is flashy and to catch your eye. And I saw somebody actually writing today. I saw a comment. Somebody goes, can't I just get my news written out? Why does everything have to be a video these days? Sometimes you just want to consume that information in the written word. Paul, always thank you for the call.
Okay. Yeah.
888-574-2723. But back to the same old, same old. As I said, Rubio, McCain, Wasserman, Schultz winning their primaries. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, of course, having to step down from her position in the DNC because of the whole email thing that seemed to indicate impropriety and maybe a preference for Hillary over Sanders. Stepping down, though, still holding her position in Florida, and rightfully so. There was an outside influence going for her opponent, who was trying to help him, Tim Canova. Canova showed that he probably wasn't right for the job, didn't have enough information. Now, in his defense, like one of the things people say he was caught on was in a debate, somebody asked him if he knew someone in a certain area, whether it was a superintendent or whatever, and he didn't. Meanwhile, Debbie Wasserman Schultz does. But the difference is he's new to the area, and she has been there forever. So, of course, she's going to know. And, of course, she's probably going to owe that individual something. But, again, everything's been fine. Everything's okay. This fear of change, this fear of upsetting the apple cart is what keeps things stagnant. Debbie Wasserman Schultz has proven herself incapable of a position like this, incapable of a position of authority because she uses it for personal gain. That should have been enough to have her ousted, in my opinion. But the people of the area spoke. You could argue that maybe the area is gerrymandered to her advantage. There are those that will say that. Maybe Canova wasn't the right candidate. But it seems that voters will do themselves harm in the interest of keeping things the same. I'm sure somebody could defend John McCain if chosen to. But let's just say what it 30 years of service is enough. You've done well. Thank you, sir. Let's get somebody else in there. And the Pew Research Center releasing an article, this may be the last presidential election dominated by boomers and prior generations. Looking at back in 2012, it was made up of 56% boomers and prior and 44% millennials and Gen X. And this might be the last time those generations enjoy a majority. And that will change things. Half of the debate we have on this show is probably because I come from a different generation and that I don't necessarily see things the same way. And one thing I hope to do as I get older is understand that my perspective might not change, but it should. Just because the way I grew up was the way I enjoyed it doesn't necessarily mean the way my son is coming up has to be that way. It can be different. As I grow older, I don't care about new music anymore. I lived for music. I got into radio because of music. I was at the record store for midnight releases. I mean, I had the Diamond Rio, which was the first portable MP3 player. Yes, kids, it wasn't the iPod. There were other people making them before Apple. It held, I think, with expanded memory, 20 songs. And Christian's like, what? Yes, they didn't make the first one. It was awesome, but it didn't hold a lot of songs. It cost a fortune. It was a pain in the butt. You kids these days have no idea how easy you have it to get music. Not only on your device should you, but you don't even have to do that anymore. You just stream things that you like, and it just keeps coming. You have no idea. Sitting there on Napster down, well, your friend, not you. I would never do anything like that. But my friend. Sitting there on Napster, downloading 20 songs overnight on a dial-up with, you know, two coming over by morning, and one of them was mislabeled. So you thought you were getting the new, like, Anthrax, and you ended up getting a Bon Jovi track because somebody's mean and can't label their songs right. I digress. But what I'm saying is that I grew up the way I did, and I've outgrown new music. I still pick up some stuff. But for whatever reason, I've fallen into what all of us do. It was better in my day. And will I try to share some of the songs that I loved all these years with my son? Sure. But I can't fault him for liking what's popular when he's young. And that grows from there. That applies across the board. when it comes to social issues and politics. His perspective is going to be different, and it's unfair of me to not acknowledge that and understand that, again, on that bell curve, at some point, I'm not going to be relevant to the future. I will have outlived my usefulness. Now, to my family, I'm still useful, but when it comes to other things, my perspective will be a hindrance. And it's important to remember that and keep your perspective. Joining the show right now, Fox News legal analyst, author, and all-around awesome lady, Lise Wheel. Good morning, Lise.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. So we got a list of stories. I was just kind of detailing them briefly, but I want to jump right into the Chipotle story.
Oh, I do too. This story, so many angles to the story. Okay, you guys start.
Well, I want. Let me preface this by saying I am not paid by them, but I love their burritos.
Yeah.
I love
burritos,
their food.
Yeah.
I wasn't scared off by the possibility of being infected by Listeria or anything else like that.
Remember, though, last year they said a lot of college kids, especially in Boston, because my kid was there at MIT, they said a lot of kids at Boston University to the hospital. Come on.
But I'm A-okay. I haven't gotten sick yet, so
yeah,
I only...
Yeah, but they said a lot of kids... I told my kid at MIT, don't go there. Do not eat at Chipotle, because she loved Chipotle.
And they're still fighting to regain customers. They're doing a lot to do that, but this is another sort of... I'll just say, black eye for them when it comes to winning people back. Tell me about the National Labor Relations Board.
Okay, so I was driving my kid up this weekend up to MIT for a second year, and we drove by Chipotle. I said, sweetie, you're not going. She's 19. Sweetie, you're not going up to Chipotle again. She said, yeah, Mom, of course I am. They're doing great again. I said, yeah, but what happened last year? She said, no, Mom, they gave one day of free burritos. And that's why when I came back to work, went back Monday and then Tuesday, as I'm always looking for you guys on Tuesday for stories to give you guys today, she says we're driving up on Friday. She says, oh, no, Mom, they gave free burritos. So when I saw this story cross my desk yesterday, it was like this kid, what's his name, James Kennedy, tweeted out this Chipotle tweet, nothing is free, only cheap labor, hashtag labor. Crew members only make $8.50 an hour. He got fired for that. The labor board said, no, you can't be doing that. And I'm like, yeah, labor board, you rock. That's not right. First of all, you did poison those kids. You really did. You're trying to come back from that. I get it. But these kids are angry. Now, before you label me as, that liberal legalese, remember about 6 months ago we talked about that pizza girl? She was at a pizza parlor, and she was like, ew, that first day was so horrible, and that pizza manager, he was so fat and ugly, I just can't work there. I'm like, she put that on social media. The guy saw it, and he fired her. He basically said, just don't bother coming to work the next day. I'm like, of course. Of course fire her. So for that one, I say fire her. For this one, I say the kid's only talking about why not do something for your laborers, your employers, your employees.
Right, so he's talking about the practices, the environment, the pay.
Yes.
He's not attacking a personnel manager
exactly.
That they work for. And I was just talking about how I think that businesses in general, companies have been fighting to get into our social media and our lives too much. You get me for however 40, we'll just say 40 hours a week. That is what I say.
Right.
If you need me to do work outside of it, sure. I'm a salaried employee. That's fine. But you don't get me when I'm off. You don't get me on social media. You don't get me at home. What I do in my life is my life. Now, if I'm doing something representing the station and I go crazy, that's one thing.
If you say something about your station like, Joe next door, stinks, his armpits stink, that is bad for your station. It could hurt your station's reputation. So that I get. I mean, but...
The fact that Chipotle has a social media policy...
It's a really, really fine line. It really is.
Now, I'm in the industry, so I have to be careful with my tweets and stuff. Because they're tied to what I do on the air. I understand that. But if I'm a guy making burritos, why does Chipotle even have a social media policy?
I don't know. And the thing is, for this guy, I see it. He's been through this all, right? It's not his first day. It's not his first rodeo, like this girl at the pizza parlor was. It was literally her first day. She came home, maybe her toes hurt or something, and she's being mad at the manager. I get it. I would not want an employee like that. But this guy, he's been through it all. He's seen all this food poisoning. He comes back. I'm seeing free burritos going out. Do you know how much that costs for the company? That must have cost millions. Meanwhile, their salary has not gone up one penny. I get that he's angry. $8.50 an hour is not that much, really. I mean, give them a raise to $9. That would have been such an employee boost. Anyway, I'm on a soapbox here.
And I'm willing to pay an extra nickel on every burrito to help
employee morale.
Yeah, and to pay them more. If like that's what it costs, I'm okay with that. When Obamacare was going through, you had Papa John complaining that he would have to raise every pizza by, I don't know, 20 cents, maybe 25. I'm okay with that.
You wouldn't even notice it, frankly. You would not notice it. Whereas the employees would be like, I'm much happier being in this place. My employer appreciates me. Just that little bit of gratitude from the employer. We appreciate you. You've been through a tough time. You've seen in your local paper that your employer, the place where you work, has been disparaged, that the product you put out there has sent kids, college kids, to the hospital, for goodness sakes. You pretty much feel bad. Your mom and dad are calling saying, hey, son, you're putting out some bad product there. Maybe
you're making kids sick, son. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. What are you doing? You're spitting on the food. I mean, come on. Those people, they go home every day and they think, gosh, what did I do wrong? You know, and they're getting $8.50 an hour.
Well,
I mean, I feel for those kids. I really do.
Let's change our focus and look at Ryan Lochte. This guy.
A really fun topic.
I mean, just I hate to be judgmental, but just the dope of dopes, it seems. Tell me what's going on there with Brazil.
All right. So what's going to happen with him is, first of all, well, let's go through what's really going to happen. His lawyer is going to go. He doesn't have to go. His lawyer is going to go on a first-class ticket to Rio, stay in a first-class hotel, bring a first-class bag of money, and pay a fine. And that's what's going to happen. He's never going to have to go into a prison unless he goes voluntarily to go on a vacation someday. And they go, oh, wait a second. Aren't you supposed to spend a day in jail? And they'll put him in a day in jail and give him some, you know, margarita or something. But he's never going to spend a day in jail, ever. He's just going to have to pay some fine. And his lawyer, of course, the lawyers always win. His lawyer's going to, you know, pay the fine and make him pay money to the lawyer. And that's it. We'll never hear about it again. That's it.
And
who I'd be really scared about are the other swimmers who... he left those other guys there. Can you imagine?
Yeah, he ghosted. He was out of there. And he went on the apology tour, of course, when he returned to TV.
I over-exaggerated. What?
And I imagine we will, we'll forgive him because that's what we
of
do.
Course.
He swims fast.
But the thing is, when the nation finds out, I think we are finding out, is he 18? Is he 19? Is he 22? No. He's 32 years old.
Yeah, he's not a kid. Somebody referred to him as a kid making a mistake.
Not
he is
kid.
No kid.
I've got kids, 19 and 23. Well, 23 isn't even a kid. I got a 19-year-old. Okay, you know, barely still a kid. 32 is not a kid anymore. You're not a kid.
Well, keep that 19-year-old away from those burritos, huh?
I'm trying to. She'll go back to him.
Fox News legal analyst Lise Wheel.
Take care, guys. Have a great Labor Day weekend, will
you? You too. We'll talk to you afterwards.